Thayer Thursday. Tom Thayer. 1985 Super Bowl champion and football analyst for the Chicago Bears.
Compete to win the division. Win the division, get into the playoffs.
Former offensive lineman.
Do they need to get better? Do they need to give up less sacks? Yes, of course.
Tom Thayer. It's Thayer Thursday on Cap'n J Hood, ESPN Chicago.
What's up and welcome in to the Cap'n J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you here on this Deal Breakers Thursday. Glad that you're with us. If it's Thursday, it's a Tom Thayer Thursday, and he's with us here, the color analyst for the Chicago Bears. The great Tom Thayer joins us right here.
On a Car X tire.
That's a fire.
Auto hotline.
Where are your mic? Thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, boy.
I keep forgetting. TV, they always had my mic on for me. Here, I screwed up. Tommy, good morning, man. Look, we've covered a lot of days.
Yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
Yesterday.
No, I just saying hi to you guys, Jay Hood and Cap. How you doing?
We're great.
So, Hoodie and I in our career, you playing over there and being the voice of the team with Jeff, there's been the Tank Johnson and the Alonzo Spellman and the Dave McGinnis press conference and the Sam Hurd arrest. Like, there's been some wild stuff. Yesterday en masse was the most bizarre day I've covered in a long, long time. What was your takeaway from everything yesterday?
Well, I agree with Justin. And, you know, that's a statement that's, you know, everybody's talking about the egregiousness of it, but I agree with them. And I think the coaches are the solution for Justin's struggles so far this season. You know, they have a team that's on pace for 85 sacks this year. They're trying to make Justin into a pocket quarterback when they can't protect him. You have a guy that's blessed with athleticism that may be one of the top two in the league when you consider Lamar Jackson. So now you're going to have an offensive line that can't protect, and now you're going to put him as a pocket passer. And I think that's doing justice and it's not the right spot for him. I think when you look at the receivers that the Bears have in all of them, you know, DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney, Tyler Scott, Equinious St. Brown, Cole Kmet, everything. And I think what Justin said was taken, you know, for it's immediacy because everybody's trying to create a story because of what he said. But at the end of the day, I agree with him.
So, Tom, let's go back to last week against Tampa. You know, when Justin Fields said yesterday he wants to play more freely and be more like himself, are there specific plays that you could point out? You say, boy, that's more like Justin when he's right.
Well, there's a solution to it. You know, Jay Hood and Cap, the field is 53 yards wide. And the first thing I would do is I would cut the field in half. I would have multiple receivers to one side of the field, and I'm never going to set him up in the same place twice. I am going to have rolls, which is when the quarterback goes to one side or the other, and he kind of flows all the way to the sideline. They have a waggle protection where he drops back, and then he meanders behind the right tackle or the left tackle, depending upon the direction. They have protected bootlegs. They have naked bootlegs. Now, what I'm going to do for Justin is I'm going to have a multiple receiver side, and whatever side he works to, it's going to be 1-2 run. And I'm going to give him two receivers at two different depths, and I don't care what the coverage is, if it's man or zone. He's going to have an immediate a visual realization exactly where the ball should go to. And if both of those guys are blanket covered where there is no throw, then I'm going to have them run. And I think if you look at what you need to do, first of all, to help the offensive line, is give them an aggressive opportunity to pass block. Right now, when you go through and you have a pocket protection and you allow this offensive line to set back a yard or two, it gives the defensive line a running start, and now they're getting pushed back and they're closing, they're condensing that pocket around Justin Fields, and then it takes him out of his comfort zone immediately. Now he's looking for the escape rather than looking for the receiver downfield. So if you want to give your offensive line the best protection to succeed aggressively, then you better put in that play action, those rolls, those waggles, those bootlegs, those naked bootlegs, and try to give Justin the best opportunity to see his targets immediately. And if they're not there, get what you can out of it with your legs. Get down or get out of bounds safely, and let's go back to the line of scrimmage.
Double T, is that sustainable beyond this year, long term? Or do you, as Tommy Waddle was talking about yesterday, have to know, can this guy, and Eberflus, Hoodie played the audio, Eberflus said, you've got to be able to play from the pocket in this league. Do you have to know by the end of this year, can that guy play in the pocket or not? Because I can't give him $250 million if he can't.
You know, eventually, if he is going to be here for that period of time, he has to develop a pocket presence. But you're never going to ignore his athleticism. So if I have 30 passes a game and I give him the 15 pocket passes, but then I give him 15 movement type of throws, I'm okay with that, because then you're keeping the defensive coordinator off balance and he's not firing after a sitting target. And the thing about it is, if Justin Fields makes a head fake and makes one guy miss in space, it's a 15, 50, 60-yard gain. So, you know, that's all in the process of quarterback development. And it takes a long time for a quarterback to develop. You know, when you look at Cap in our era and Jay Hood, when you look at anywhere from the Marino, the Elway, that era of quarterbacks, going to Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, these guys spent 4 years in a college program, and they probably throughout their college development had probably 2,000 to 5,000 more reps than these guys do that come out 2 years off of a college program and play 13 games Trubisky-ish, or even Justin in his limited college time. So you have these guys that have so many more reps, they become more familiar with coverages, with movement of coverages, with routes, and they're more in a comfort zone when they come to the NFL level. For a guy like Justin, because he didn't play a lot of college football, you need that time to develop, because all of a sudden, even though the talent that you played with on your team at Ohio State is better than the teams you played against, in the NFL, everything's, you know, pretty even. You know, you play great defensive backs that are tremendous athletes, linebackers, defensive linemen, just like the receivers he plays with. So, yeah, eventually you have to develop that pocket presence. But until then, I'm not going to allow him to be a sitting duck and take 85 sacks in the course of a year. So what can you do immediately? First of all, to help your offensive line. Second of all, to use the receivers you brought in here and allow Justin to play that outside two-man game.
It is the great Tom Thayer with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app here on the home of the Bears. Full coverage on Sunday as the Bears get ready to take on Kansas City right here on ESPN 1000. Tom, what troubles you most about the offensive line through the first two games, now that Braxton Jones is out as well?
You know, they haven't really established a running game either against Green Bay and Tampa, and it's going to be equally as difficult in Kansas City. And a lot of it in Tampa and Kansas City is the crowd noise makes the offensive line dysfunctional because you don't have a volume count. So, you know, Justin last year really helped them establish a running game with the running backs, including Justin. Justin hasn't had that running presence yet this year, so the defense gets to play more, you know, kind of a stationary pressure. And then, like, when they do have the third and extremely long, the offensive line is getting pushed back and Justin doesn't have that pocket. One thing I will say about Justin is if it's third and 13, third and 11, third and 10, Justin does not have to throw a 14-yard. He doesn't have to throw a pass 1 yard beyond the first down marker. All he needs to do is hit an athlete in motion and then count on them to pick up the remaining yards needed. There was a few plays in the Tampa game that Justin didn't take what was offered to him. And if he would just take what was offered to him, I think DJ Moore is a tough tackle. I think hitting Robert Tonyan in stride, hitting Cole Kmet earlier in his pattern, take advantage of the size of Chase Claypool or the elusiveness of Darnell Mooney. Allow these guys to be the athletes with the ball in their hand and don't put everything on you. Okay, I got to have my offensive line hold protection till a route gets down beyond the 13-yard marker and then throw the ball. That's unrealistic football. reality football is using the athleticism that these other receivers are gifted with.
So Justin comes off the field yesterday, and they said, are you aware of the firestorm your comments caused earlier? No. What are you talking about? Well, they said you're blaming coaching. That's not true. Play the whole soundbite. I saw Mitchell Schwartz, a former offensive lineman, go, now you want to know why we give bland answers? Because you people cut the soundbite off in the middle, and you twist what we say. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do, and that's why I agree with what Justin said. I do need help from coaching. And coaching goes from protection to the types of routes you're going to run, to use my athleticism to get in open areas to make a more immediate decision. And you saw, everybody saw, you know, the football guys on Monday, they want to take a play that a quarterback holds the ball for 4 plus or 5 seconds and gets sacked, and then they want to criticize the quarterback. I just think that sometimes when you repeatedly try to run pocket protection against Todd Bowles in Tampa on a 95-degree day, you're doing Justin a disservice. Just think if you ran Justin on these outside opportunities for him to either get rid of the ball immediately or run it itself, now you're fatiguing the exterior of the defense. Now you're creating better opportunities for receivers to win routes downfield or at the line of scrimmage. So I think it's everybody has a hand in this, but I think the coaches shouldn't look at this as criticism. They should look at it as Justin is asking for help. And being a part of different quarterbacks and different offenses and different protections, it's out there. And I don't think it's something that you're making wholesale changes within your offense, because all this stuff has been installed in training camp. Go back a little bit, reduce the amount of in-pocket passes you have, and open up the book to moving pockets of the variations that I talked about. And I guarantee you, you're going to see a much more confident Justin. You're going to see him more decisively make faster throws. And then if there's throws aren't there, take what they're offering you. Get out of bounds. Nice slide where you're not taking a hit. And now you're, what, now you're second and six, or, you know, on that, you know, whatever the down and distance is.
Tommy, as always, we appreciate your time. Hopefully you can give me season tickets for Joliet Catholic. I know you got to get season tickets and a special seat to get in there. So any way you can get me two, I know it's a special program.
Well, they got beat by St. Rita a couple weeks ago. St. Rita came in with a really good team, and I think they play like St. Lawrence and Marist the next couple weeks, and won't be easy. So, yeah, Jay Hood, just use my name at the door.
Excuse me, Alec, do you get two? Sorry, we're sold out. Tom Thayer sent me. Oh! Come right in.
Come right in. Be in our suite, please. Thank you very much. Tommy, thank you, man.
Travel safe. We'll see you in Kansas City.
All right, boys.
It is Tom Thayer, color analyst for the Chicago Bears. And, of course, you got our full coverage on Sunday for the Bears and the Chiefs right here on ESPN 1000.
All day long. Sylvie's pregame leads into it. 3:25, ball in the air in Arrowhead. Also, that was on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Thank you.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Who are you thinking there?
Thank you,
for their sponsorship. And Tommy for being on.
Tune in.
All right, coming up next, we'll take your phone calls. Justin Fields alluded to being overcoached. Do you agree with him? We'll talk about it right here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and J Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 10. Then Mike Greenberg takes over at 10 o'clock, followed by Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. Peggy and Sylvie from 2 to 6 into Bears Weekly with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Chris Bleck at 7 right here on the Home of the Bears ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Glad to have you in today here on this Deal Breakers Thursday. We've been talking about the Bears because of the comments made by Justin Fields. And as I told you, Cap, like, if you are Justin Fields, one of the leaders of this football team, you have to be careful on what you say. I know that he feels like this is the only thing that people care about.
What do you think was causing you to think so much, maybe think too much?
Coaching.
Now, there's more to that than just that 7 seconds I just played.
Correct.
Because there's context of saying it could be coaching, but ultimately it's really on me. I got to be more like me. And again, I'm just trying to unlock the mystery of what that is. Tom Thayer in our earlier segment talked about how he'd cut the field. It's funny you mentioned that because we've talked about that, haven't we?
Correct. And Tommy Waddle talked about that very eloquently on our Waddle Wednesday hit, where you have to know at the end of the year, can this kid play in the pocket or not? Because if he can't, long term, it's unsustainable. They got to the point where Jay Cutler, they had, Jay, if you roll to the right, you cannot throw back past the middle of the field.
Right.
Because it's too many turnovers. And they don't want to get to that point. They tried that with Trubisky. They don't want a Trubisky Justin.
Mm-hmm.
So are we trying to squeak out 4, 5, 6 wins this year? Or are we trying to develop someone long term and find out, am I giving that guy the bag of money, $250 million? Am I picking up his fifth year option? Or am I going to let him stand back there in the pocket and get the ever living you know what beaten out of him because we can't protect him?
Well,
that's an organizational issue.
Justin Fields is justified when he says this.
Of course, you know, things that I didn't like, I felt like, you know, I wasn't necessarily playing my game. Felt like I was kind of robotic and, you know, not playing like myself. So, you know, my goal this week is just to, you know, say effort and just go out there and, you know, play football how I know how to play football. And that's not, that includes thinking less and just going out there and, you know, playing off of instincts rather than just of, you know, so much, so to say, info in my head, data in my head, and literally just going out there playing football. I mean, just going back to it's a game. And that's it, because that's when, you know, I play my best is when I'm just out there playing free and being myself. So I'm going to say kind of just bump all the, you know, what I should do, what I, this and that, like pocket stuff, like, I'm going to go out there and be me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think like it's anything else, Cap. It's like a seminar. Mm-hmm. And you sit there for 2 hours or a timeshare, because we've been through that before, too.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to how you can get the silverware to get those 4 days, 3 nights in the Bahamas. You sit there and you get the information that you need and you dump the rest. That's kind of what it is. It's almost like church pastor or the, you know, the person that's presiding over the service. He gives you something that you can hold on to for the week, but the rest, maybe you don't need all of it.
Correct.
You know, so the same thing what he's saying there. I understand that I got a lot of data. I got a lot of information that's given to me by Luke Getsy and the offensive staff. But ultimately, I got to be able to play free and easy. And by the way, he's right about that. Let's make sure, before we're out of here at 10 o'clock, we got to make sure it's clear that what Justin Fields, he is justified for saying that to Bears fans, everybody else, hey, I got to be able to be more like myself and not so robotic out there. He is right. But does that equate to wins? When he talks about all the information with Getsy, Getsy's only trying to help him. He's trying to help him.
Correct.
But ultimately, it does not equal to wins. And ultimately, that's the bottom line for everybody, Cap. It's got to, at some point, equal to wins. Whether it's him playing free and easy or him getting the information, doing everything to the letter of the law that Getsy says, it's got to be able to be a victory at some point for the offense.
Right. But I thought your most astute point today, in a show full of astute points every day from you, was when you said there are people out there, yeah, see, I told you, it's all against Luke Getsy. Like they're, the Justin Fields stands out there are all going, see, I told you he called out the OC. No, he actually didn't. He said, I've got so much data in my head. I prep all week. This is all I do. Mm-hmm. I work hard. When I get on the field, I don't need any more data. I don't need analytics to tell me this. That. Let me just play.
Yes.
It's in my head already.
And having said that, do it.
Correct.
But I'm telling you right now, and I have not looked at my social media. I don't know how much you've looked at it, but
I haven't either. I don't even have it open.
But let me tell you something, Cap. You can't fight City Hall in that regard, because this is not just for Justin Fields. This is for Chicago athletes in general. If there's underachievement, it's on the coaching.
Always.
It's always, I want that coach fired. I want that GM fired. That owner's cheap. That's usually the calling card, the rallying cry for fans. And actually, it's not just coaches. It's everything when you lose.
Unless you don't give effort. When they see you dog it down the first baseline, or you don't want to come back from injury as quickly as they think you should, then they'll put it on the player. But heaven forbid, you're a good guy, you work hard, blah, 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 and It's got to be the coach. Fire the hitting coach.
No question.
Fire the pitching coach. Why is this happening? Guess what? The athletes are culpable, too.
For those that are anti-Getsy or anti-Eberflus or the coaching staff in general, this is a win for them today. That's right, Justin. That's right. Hold him responsible because it's too much data and he's overloaded with information, so you should play free and easy. You're right. Well, no, it's everything.
Correct.
It's on the young man as well.
And what did we say on Monday? Both things are true. They have not helped him enough game planning, protecting him. He also has to play a hell of a lot better.
Cap and Jay Hood, we're just here for clicks on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. As we go to the phone lines to talk to you, Tony in Yorkville on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning, boys. Love the show. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, T.
So I'm going to do Hoodie's four pillars of criticism, but before I get there, kind of had me a little bit hot because I'm sick of dealing with this. I don't care about the social media stuff from yesterday. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Cut half the field. The dude's been here 3 years. I get all the circumstances, so just I understand that. You went to a big-time program for 2 years. You can simplify this playbook without cutting the damn field in half. You cut the field in half, you're going to get him killed even worse. And I get all this stuff, but, you know, until he's got to stop. When you stop, make your layups. When you consistently can make your layups, then you can kind of start talking a little bit about how this isn't working, that's not working. And this goes into also Getsy now for my second pillar. You know this man can't compute right now. He's not processing for whatever reason. You are one of the worst teams in the league at pre-snap motions and window dressing. If you're trying to do everything you can to figure out if this man is your guy, why would you not give him less stuff to think about after the snap by giving him more information pre-snap? Hey, let me flip DJ to this side. I know he's going to be on this side regardless, but let me see if somebody trails with him. Then I know it's man. Safety comes down after that, I know the middle's open. If they're not, hey, it's zone. That's huge for a quarterback. It really is. And then so he's got to start doing that. I'm sorry. And then Eberflus, the cargo shorts of the NFL coaches, it's not working. Do something
oh,
else.
Man.
I mean, this goes back to if Justin wants to be him, this is why I think, and you guys were just completely nice to him. Kudos to you guys. Justin cannot audible. I'm sorry. I have not seen that. If Justin wants to be him, he should have been able to audible and then, you know, check into some of those RPOs. So this man is just the defensive version of Nagy. He wants to talk technical. Well, this is 3-by-1 and stack with this. It's great that you know that after the fact. It would be nice to know. It would be nice if you could know that before the fact so you can attack this stuff. And then my fourth pillar, polls. Fix it. How's your boy in Washington doing right now? Not even a phone call? Hey, man, you want to call the plays up here for a little bit? Hey, man, you want the keys to run to the show? Because guess what? You know what this team needs? Accountability. You know what that dude in Washington did and the same thing he did in Kansas City? Got in that ass if that didn't work out that way. True. Everybody is held accountable. It's not one person. Fix this. Right the ship. Let's go, boys. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Very good call. Wow. That's a really, really good call. The cargo shorts of the NFL.
Wow. That is stiff there. All right, we appreciate your telephone call. 5 stars there all around. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Your calls on a bizarre day at Hallis Hall. If you're on hold, you will be on the air on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headline.
Very surprised.
With Cap and Jay Hood.
Fun.
Good morning, Chicago. It's time for headlines on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. A bizarre day at Hallis Hall unfolded yesterday. Check this out. Braxton Jones was placed on injury reserve with a neck injury and is going to miss at least 4 weeks. Defensive coordinator Alan Williams resigned, citing a health issue and a family matter. From there, the Bears released quarterback Nathan Peterman, then re-signed him this morning. How about that? Justin Fields met the media twice, citing too many voices for his struggles. How about the Cubs? The Cubs dropped Game 2 of the series against the Pirates 13-7. Yesterday, that marked the shortest non-injury start of Justin Steele's season. Steele allowed 6 runs on 8 hits over 3 innings.
He was bad.
Game 3 against Pittsburgh is tonight at 6:40 at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field.
Get it done, Cubbies. Let's go.
Book Shambi may or may not be interested. Now we move on to the White Sox. What did I say wrong?
I love Boog. He's my guy.
Mm-hmm. The White Sox lost their second straight to the Nationals yesterday, 13-3. The Sox have the day off, but they're back in action tomorrow from Fenway Park in Boston. All right, J-Mar, here we go.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
I appreciate your show. I'm an Uber driver, and from 7 to 10 every day, I've got you locked in.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
One of the most bizarre days in Chicago sports in quite some time. We're talking about it on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, the Bears. We just laid out all the things that happened, Cap, from Braxton Jones to Alan Williams to Nathan Peterman. He's gone, then he comes back the next day. Justin Fields meeting the media twice. It's been a lot. So, you know, it's not just us here in Chicago. And, you know, you could hear the sirens outside. Now, that's not the Bears. Now, there it is. All my Bears. There you go.
Oh, my Bears.
Sit down, son. My story's on. Sorry, Mom. Quiet. Eat your peanut butter and jelly. This is my time. Sorry. All my Bears is on because we got to see Justin Fields walking it back. Braxton Jones with a bad neck. I would, too, if you've sucked for the first two games of the season. Jeez. And then from there, Alan Williams. What's going on there? He's there with the Bears and now no longer with the Bears. He disappeared. And then there's the saga of Nathan Peterman. Backup quarterback, closer to a CBSI jacket than actually a quarterback in this league. And there he is, Cap. He's gone from the Bears. And then at 6:57 this morning, back with the Bears.
Hey, stop that car service headed O'Hare. Bring Nathan back. Whatever he said.
Just pack my boxes, man. What do you mean? No, you're coming back.
You're back.
All right. Back him up. Back instead. Never mind. Bring him back.
Claypool, step to the side.
Yeah. Claypool.
Peterman, get off.
Allen. All right. Braxton Jones. Eberflus, you're next. Back him up. Just hang on a second. Not yet. 15 more games.
Can you guys give Braxton a ride to rehab? Put him on. Let's go. Back it up.
You know, our sanitation workers hold on to the handle. They're on the outside of it. They're not in the truck. They're on the outside because
right.
They got to jump off and get to the next thing.
Right.
That's where Braxton is. Just hold on to the left side.
Just jump out. All right, here. There's Atletico. Jump out.
That's what's happening here. Boy, it's not just here, but it's everywhere when it comes to the Bears. The civic embarrassment that the storylines that took place yesterday. So Chris Canty from Unsportsmanlike said, you know what? I think that Justin Fields needs to point the finger, not the thumb.
The initial comments.
Point the thumb and not the finger.
Correct.
Right?
The initial comments, he said, I don't know, it could be coaching. He doesn't bring up any other plausible explanation. He says it could be coaching. I.e., it is coaching.
Correct.
Like, you're asking me why I'm playing robotic. It's coaching.
Correct.
I'm not bringing up my study habits. I'm not bringing up the supporting cast. I'm not bringing up the culture, the overall environment. It could be coaching. No, it is coaching. That's what you meant. You're pointing the finger at your coaches. How about you point the thumb? Think about what you can be doing better. And just say that. That as a quarterback, you can't get in trouble if you blame yourself. I stop short of trying to defend Justin Fields when Justin Fields airs out the dirty laundry in front of the media. That
Bingo.
What he did yesterday, the first time he addressed the media, you just can't do that. And you can't set your head coach up like that knowing that he's talking to the media 20 minutes later. The fact that he was out there saying that he's playing robotic and it's because of the things that the coaching staff is putting in his head is a complete cop-out and it's unbecoming of a quarterback that is deemed a franchise guy.
Chris Canty with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman, 5-7 for Unsportsmanlike right here on ESPN 1000.
That was some strong comments there. Strong comments. They run counter to Mike Greenberg blaming it all on coaching. They're screwing Justin Fields up. Watch the game. Justin's not playing well, and he said that. Put it on me.
You know we're the number one show in the UK, right?
We are big in the afternoon drive in the UK.
Here is Bearlissimo on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, bruv.
Good afternoon. I'm good. I've been listening to what everyone's been saying, really, and what I know about quarterbacking largely comes from a friend who's also a quarterback coach, locked in QB, Austin Carter Samuels, and he talks about the psychology of it, which comes from, there's a guy that I've read called Daniel Kahneman, which he talks about thinking fast and slow. And that affects the kinesiology of being able to throw, process information, and be able to mechanically perform. Now, when you do something repeatedly and you become an expert at it, you're no longer thinking. You're no longer in your head. you can do it automatically. So an example of that is if I ask you to throw a ball up in the air and catch it while doing 2 times 2, 4 times 4, you'll be able to do it, give me the answer, you'll be able to catch the ball. Now, if I ask you to do the same thing as what's 14 times 23, you're going to struggle, you're probably going to drop the ball, your eyes are going to be off it. When you add stress into that situation, it makes it all the more difficult as well. And this is not accounting for the fact that Getsy's got him in shotgun constantly with Lucas Patrick spraying the ball like an excited puppy all over the floor. it's literally all over the place, the shotgun snaps. We need to get that sorted if you want Justin to be able to perform. But what we're talking about is reducing the computational load, letting him be in a flow state where he's able to look, feel, process, and do almost automatically. And that's where your expertise comes through. Justin was a 70-something percent thrower in college when he was throwing the ball downfield.
Yeah,
that's because he didn't have to.
Well,
he wasn't computing all the time, Cap.
Yeah, but the other
he
thing,
knew that offense inside and out.
Yeah, but Bear, listen, man, we appreciate your call, man. Look, when you're throwing against Northwestern and Purdue and Indiana, okay, you rally the troops. You have a big game against Penn State. Who we got next week? We're at home against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
We got Akron and a non-conference game. Like, it's different when you play Tampa and you go, oh, God, Shaquille Barrett's pretty good. Whoa, who's this big fat dude in the middle? Vita Vea, this guy's a beast.
Yeah, man.
Can we get him blocked? It's a totally different way to play football, period. My question, I keep asking this, how come no one has ever made it as a quarterback in the NFL from Ohio State? Ever. Whether they played for Ryan Day, Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel, Woody Hayes, Earl Bruce, whoever. Name me one.
Some schools just aren't blessed with that. Look at my school. It's running back you. Defense you.
Or it's the way that they play. They're so dominant in certain things.
We would love to have a five-star quarterback that can make a difference like you see at USC. Or at Alabama. Well, not at Alabama, not as much. But you understand the point. Like, there's some programs that have excellent quarterback play.
Yeah.
Some programs are just built for linebacker you, running back you. Just like Ohio State.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they try, but sometimes you just can't recruit it. You try to recruit it, you just can't get it. Justin Fields, he is an Ohio State guy, even though he started at Georgia. I mean, so we'll give the Buckeyes
he's
that.
From Georgia.
Yes.
From the state.
We'll give the Buckeyes that.
But again,
that.
I just... For as great as Ohio State's program is, they've never had a quarterback make it. I mean, make it where you go, wow, that guy's a monster in the NFL. CJ Stroud's a rookie. Justin hasn't done it yet. Name me one.
Jim and Bartlett, you've tried to get this comment in for the last couple days. We wanted to get you on here on Cap and J Hood. Go ahead, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Sparky?
I know you've been trying to get in with this. I want you to tell
the
audience.
I understand. You guys are busy. Hey, Cap, you don't like Mike Tomczak?
What's that?
Mike Tomczak
you didn't like
was
Mike
Ohio
Tomczak
Yeah, exactly.
Ohio
Craig Krenzel. Yeah, I mean.
Tomczak was horrible.
The only reason I'm calling is. I said this last year, and I'm not smart enough to figure out the X and O's. I already played high school ball, but. You know, the only difference right now between Justin Fields and Vince Evans is one was a sixth-round pick and Justin was a first. And that's not a knock on him, really, because I really like Vince Evans. He never could put it together, the consistency to be a starting quarterback. But coming off the bench, he won a lot of games for the Bears, and he played in the NFL 16 years. I'm not giving up on him. I'm not giving up on the Bears. I'll watch him every week, and as Tom Berenger said in Platoon, just take the pain. Have a good day, guys.
Okay, so the last couple of days I've seen that call up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take it so we can get this off the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Evans was a very talented quarterback. To say that Vince Evans and Justin Fields are the same is not right. Vince Evans' problem was, just like it has been on other Bears seasons, rickety offensive line. I hope Dan Jiggins doesn't call me after I say that. But, I mean, rickety offensive line. And also, Vince Evans threw the ball through receivers' hands, like actually threw the ball so hard.
He had
you remember
no
this?
Touch.
Everything was at 200 miles an hour with
Correct.
Vince. That's the whole thing with him.
I
remember
where,
that
USC.
Believe so.
I think USC.
But you remember that though, Cap? Both of us as young guys seeing the Bears, and we saw Vince like, oh, but his ball was always so fast. He would break guys' hands and fingers with that ball.
He had no touch on the ball
whatsoever.
It was
never like a rainbow. That wasn't Vince.
Correct.
And that's not Justin.
That is correct.
But Vince Evans was a talented quarterback. He just, you had to have good hands to be playing with him because he was going to zip it in there quickly. He got the ball out quick. He'd break your fingers, though. That's who Vince was.
Right. He wasn't a great football player. He wasn't. But he was a guy trying hard. The Bears were terrible back then. Terrible.
He lasted a long time in this league.
He did. Vince 100%. Evans.
So 100%. But the idea that that's who Justin, that's not right.
No, Justin's a way better, more accomplished player.
At least as far as he's more versatile. I'll put it that way. Like, Vince was not a running quarterback, even though probably should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that Vince, he held in there nicely, but just threw the ball so damn hard. That's what I remember most about him.
I remember.
And I have his jersey. All right,
what
coming
number
up,
was he?
Eight. I have his jersey. It's in my closet. But I do have a Vince Evans jersey.
Still?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
No, it's in my closet. I'll pull it out one day.
Put it on.
Yeah, one day. It's there. Also, I have a Tom Tupa.
Oh, my God.
Jets jersey.
The punter.
Coming,
Patriot and Jet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from Ohio State.
Ask Eddie Olczyk. Eddie Olczyk makes fun of me because I did a show with Eddie. We did several shows, and I was wearing my Tom Tupa jersey. He goes, "You come to work with a Tom Tupa jersey?" Like, you know,
so
Ed, you know, Ed's likes the bus balls, right?
He does.
He's still, to this day, still got that Tom Tupa jersey.
So funny.
Coming up, we will give you the Cap and J Hood cut of the day right around the corner on
coming
the
up.
Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Cap and J Hood are back.
First time caller, huge fan of your guys' show.
Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Now time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by David Flom and Matt Moore's Chicago Cut Steakhouse. It is on LaSalle, north side of the Chicago River. It is just awesome. We've still had some nice weather days. Take advantage of their patio, folks. Best view in the city. Jay Moore!
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
In the NL Cy Young race,
and don't forget Suzuki either, kid.
What is going on today?
Well, you're calling all these others out. Suzuki was the, other than Steele, Suzuki was the star of the game. Haven't heard his name mentioned. Pay that man his respect.
All right, Seiya Suzuki with a great performance as well.
Thank you.
Not to be forgotten.
Appreciate
you could have let me finish the question.
Yes, you build a culture of winning by winning and keeping guys together, not rolling over in the fetal position, Shay. I mean, Shay.
What's in the water? Did somebody mess with you this morning? Who pissed in your Cheerios? Pardon my language.
Nobody, baby. Let's go.
Hoody, is he not a little more combative with me today than normal?
I'm just having fun, baby.
He's always like this.
My goodness.
On Tuesdays.
Oh.
Mm. Real Monday vibes for me on a Tuesday.
Hold on a second. Sorry.
It's a honey oven O. It's honey nut Cheerios.
Why do we do that as guys? Why do we have to make grunting noises in the bathroom?
It helps. Gets you done quicker.
I mean, that's ridiculous,
that's
though.
Good point. I don't it's ever not, hear my wife.
No. And if you did, you'd be very alarmed.
I'd be like,
hon? You all right in there? Yeah, hon. I mean, you'd be very alarmed, would you not, Cap?
Correct.
But us as guys, though, that means it's not sex. We're just going to the bathroom.
That's it.
Ah, ooh. Mmm.
Wow.
Matt Eberflus at 8:30.
Can't
go
wait.
Ahead. Go ahead. We'll ask him about those groaning noises.
Yeah.
Matt, when you go to the bathroom, you ever make that noise?
Oh.
8:35. Right out of the box.
And that's all, folks.
The Cap and J-Hood cut of the day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Check it out. And they do food to go. Trust me. Get that lobster salad with the champagne vinaigrette. Slice of carrot cake. Life's good! Let me ask you something, Hoodie. When we have Eberflus on Monday.
Sure.
Is there any chance we could say, Coach, it's been a rough week for you. Tough day in Kansas City. When you go to the bathroom, do you make like relaxing noise? Like, ah. Oh. Like if he was a dude, he'd be like, Oh, I needed that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, a little laugh, right?
All right, now we get into football.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course,
not asking him to simulate the noise.
Management would fly through the skies without a plane to the studio after we asked that question.
Yes.
They'd be flying from wherever home they're coming from to be able to cut this thing off. They'd cut the cord of the show if we asked him that question.
Correct.
Today is National Pawpaw Day. Shout out to Shay. The only place outside of Chicago, the only place I've had multiple tickets, Pawpaw, Michigan.
There's also a Pawpaw, Illinois.
It's unbelievable.
It's out,
man,
toward like Dixon, DeKalb, like west of there. That area, there's a Pawpaw. And Ryan Terrio used to come on with me. His grandfather, he called Pawpaw.
Happy birthday, Bill Murray. I know he's happy. He's with Khalees somewhere. We thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Thank you, Shade. Thank you, Jay Moore. Let's do this tomorrow at 7.
Rock and roll, baby. Yeah, let's get it out.
More Bears coverage next. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.